Genesis chapter 22. Read one verse of scripture to you this morning. As a preacher, you're always trying to get the mind of the Lord and figure out where or what to preach about. And of course, the whole Bible is inspired of the Lord. But you're trying to figure the mind of God and what you'd have the next service and the next message. And a lot of fellows preach expository messages and verse-by-verse messages. I do some of that on Sunday nights, but Sunday mornings usually maybe a topical type message. I hadn't planned on telling you this part of the story, but I'm going to tell you this part. So this week I had the privilege of spending a lot of time with my granddaughter, with my wife taking my daughter back and forth to the hospital, doctor visits and things like that. And so we're trying to figure out, what to keep a four-year-old entertained. And so we have, I'll make a long story short, we have like internet-type TV where you can select different videos, and so, I can quote every Barney movie and every ballerina and Blue's Clues and all that. And so I'm scrolling through there the other day trying to find something appropriate for, and so there's this movie, video called The Lion of the Tribe of Judah. It's a cartoon. And so I said, well, that's got to be pretty good. It's, it's something about Jesus. And so it was. It's a story. And I recommend it to you parents that have, if you haven't seen it, or I don't, anyhow. But it was about a little lamb. And this little lamb was being taken to Jerusalem for the Passover. And at the same time was Jesus being crucified. And I'll be honest with you, when they laid Jesus down on that cross and they began to drive the nails, my little four-year-old granddaughter, she got upset. They're killing Jesus. And I said, Ava Lee, do you know why that they killed Jesus? They nailed him to a cross so that you and I could go to heaven. We watched that little movie through, and she said, I want to see it again. And so she watched it again. And then she said, I want to see it again. And I sat there in tears in my eyes. You say, preacher, is a cartoon. I know. But when you realize that Jesus died for your sins, and you realize that he was nailed to a Roman cross, and that thank God that he didn't stay dead, but he was buried and rose again the third day, then you can rejoice in the fact that there was a lamb that sacrificed for your sins and my sins. And my mind went to this passage, Genesis 22, and verse number 7, one verse of scripture. I'll preach a short message on this thought this morning on where is the lamb. Look, if you would, chapter 22, verse 7, and the Bible said, and Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Isaac, as he was being led up to Mount Moriah, after Abraham had told his servants to stay at the bottom of the mountain and that I and the lad are going to go yonder and worship, I and the lad are going to come back again. As they make their way up to the side of the mountain, they have the wood, they have the fire, they have the necessary items, the knife for the sacrifice. And then along the way, Isaac looks at his father and he says, Father, we've got everything we need except the lamb. Where is the lamb? And Abraham makes one of the most prophetic statements in verse number 8 in the entire Bible. When Abraham looked at his son and said unto Isaac, God will provide himself a lamb. He'll provide himself a sacrifice. And for the next few minutes this morning, I want to trace through the pages of Scripture this thought, where is the lamb? Father, we need your help. Thank you for the good singing. I pray your blessings now, Spirit of the living God. Deal with every heart that's present today. We'll give you glory, praise, and honor for all that's done. For we ask it in the lovely name of Jesus. And for Jesus' sake we pray, amen and amen. Throughout the Word of God, you find the Lord Jesus being referred to as the Lamb. Have you ever wondered why? Have you ever wondered why that he would be referred to as a lamb and not some other type of animal? Throughout the Jewish sacrificial system, a lamb played an important part. In Genesis chapter number 22, you find there's a lamb for one man, Isaac. When they went up to the side of the mountain, and God had spoken to Abraham and said, Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, the son of your old age, the son in whom thou lovest, and I want you to offer him as a sacrifice on top of Mount Moriah. My friend, Mount Moriah is the northern end of Mount Calvary, the same place in which the Lord Jesus died. At one end of the mountain, at the opposite end of the mountain, was where Abraham brought his son, built an altar, laid the wood, and the Bible said that he bound his son and was getting ready to plunge a knife into his heart. And then the angel of God stayed his hand and said, Abraham, I see your faith, and behold, there is a ram caught in the thickets by his horns. Offer him up in the stead of your son. There is a lamb for one man in Genesis chapter number 22. But then I move through the Bible. In Exodus chapter number 12, Moses had instructed the people to find a lamb, pin him up for 14 days, look at him and scrutinize him. If he has a broken foot or a bent ear, he cannot be the perfect sacrifice. But take that lamb and slay the lamb. Put his blood on the side of the doors and over the top of the door. For that night, I'll pass through the village. I'll go through Egypt. And everyone that don't have the blood on the side of the door and over top of the door, death is going to enter in. And death is going to snuff out the firstborn of every person on Egypt's land. And that night, as there was a great cry made, men and women, little boys and little girls that died, that night as death came through, the Israelites had had the blood over the door and over top of the door and on the side of the door. That night when death came through, they were saved because of the blood. I'm glad, as they sang one ago, it's the blood that has set me free. It's the blood that paid my price. It's the blood, because of when death comes, I have no fear. I'm safe in the arms of Jesus. And there was the blood for one family. But then I find the third, that there was a lamb not only for one man and for one family, but in Leviticus, he was the lamb for one nation. I find that the Lord Jesus was typified. I find that there, as they offered up a lamb as a sacrifice, he was typified that one day down the road there would come a lamb. There would be one that would die for the sins of the world. But there in Leviticus, there is a lamb for one nation. But then I come to the Gospel of John, chapter number 1 and verse 29. As John is out there baptizing in muddy Jordan, all of a sudden pops over the hill the one that he said, I'm not worthy to undo the shoelaces. I'm not worthy to even untie his shoelaces. But then as he popped over the hill, for 400 years there had been silence. For 400 years there had not been the voice of God. For 400 years the prophets had gone silent. But then all of a sudden, over comes that hill of Galilee, over comes right there down into Jordan, was the one that would take away the sin of the world. And John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Let me tell you folks something, that because of the blood of Jesus, his blood can save the vilest sinner. Doesn't matter what you've done, how far you've gone, what kind of drugs you've gotten into, doesn't matter how much liquor you've drunk, the blood of Jesus will cleanse you from all sin. And it's the Lamb without blemish and without spot. It's an important sacrifice in everyday ritual in the temple of Jerusalem. Every morning, every evening, I cannot comprehend how many lambs have been slain on a Jewish altar. I tried to find it out. I read just recently about Josephus, who was a great historian that lived during the time of Jesus. During the week in which Jesus was crucified was the Passover week. Josephus, that lived during that time, they commanded that he would do a census and find out how many sacrificial lambs were killed during the week of Passover. Just that one week, just that week in which Jesus died. Josephus counted them. I could not believe the number. As I began to read about how they would do that, they had two rows of priests that lined up. And these lambs were brought in to the slaughter. They would take that little innocent white lamb and they would slit its throat. One priest would catch his blood in a basin. The other would transfer it to another basin. They would take and bring it to the mercy seat of God. They would offer that. But here's the amazing thing. Josephus said in that one week alone, 256,500 lambs was brought to the slaughter. 256,500 lambs were sacrificed for the sins of the people. But I want to tell you good news, that during that week there went a lamb to the cross. And when that lamb died on the cross, he took the sin away. It wasn't put on a charge account. It wasn't put somewhere where he'd be bringing it up to you. Thank God, when the Lamb of God died on the cross, my sins are gone. My sins, listen, my friend, they're gone, washed away in the precious blood of Jesus. What kind of lamb? Quickly, I find in Genesis 22, he is a lamb prophesied. Long before you were ever born, God prophesied that there would be a lamb. Long before this church was ever built, long before America was ever a nation, long before the world ever came into existence, God, in his divine and infinite mercy, in his love, he said, there is a lamb that's coming. There's a lamb that would die. And his name is his only begotten son. He knew from the foundation of this universe that Jesus was going to die on Calvary. Calvary was not an accident. Can I have an amen there? Calvary was not a mistake. Calvary, listen, these men sang about it this morning. What held Jesus to the cross? What? It wasn't the Romans. It wasn't the Jews. It wasn't the nails. I'll tell you what held him to the cross. It was the love of God Almighty. He could have called 10,000 legions of angels and set him free. But he died alone for you and for me. It was a lamb that was prophesied. Number two, is a lamb typified. Exodus chapter number 12. I told you there, Moses said, find your lamb and pin that lamb up. Listen to me this morning, folk. That lamb had to be spotless. That lamb had to have no blemish. That lamb could not have a broken foot or a crooked back or a bent ear. He could not have any kind of deformity, or either he had to be rejected. There had to be a perfect sacrificial lamb. Now listen, People today say, well, the reason I don't come to church is because of so-and-so and this, the hypocrites. I tell you what, you can find hypocrites at Walmart. Say amen right there. But that hadn't stopped me from shopping Walmart. Say amen. You can find, listen, if I were to ask you to raise your hand, you can find hypocrites at work, can't you? You can find them anywhere that you look for them. But friend, let me tell you something. You can find fault with the church. You can find fault with Christians. You can find fault with singers. You can find fault with deacons. You can find fault with preachers. But you'll never, ever find fault with the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. He is perfect. Always will be. There was no sin. Never lied, stole, cheated, had an impure thought. He never did anything wrong. If he had, he could not have been the sacrificial lamb. There's a lamb. Where is that lamb, preacher? Well, there's a lamb prophesied. There's a lamb typified. But then also, there's a lamb identified. John 1:29, John the Baptist said, there he is. There he comes. And as he come over the top of that hillside, he came down. And there, old John baptized him in the River Jordan. And God spoke from heaven. And said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. The Spirit of God came down. Listen, we just finished Father's Day. I'm gonna share something with you. Brother Tom Wagner down there in Dunn, he shared with us men down here at Brother Neil Jackson's church one day. But every man in here, every parent needs to hear this. Three things that every child needs to hear every day. And they're found right there when Jesus was baptized. When God the Father spoke and he said, this is my beloved son. In whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. And daddies, here's three things that we need to tell our children every day. Number one, I love you. God the Father said, this is my beloved son. And daddies, we need to tell our children, put them up to this next to us. I don't care if they're 35 or 45. We need to say, son, I want to tell you something. I love you. Some daddies think it's being big and mean and macho not to shed a tear. I want to say the opposite. Honey, I believe that God, when God gives you a good dose of the Holy Ghost, you'll have some tears. It'll bust out somewhere. Number one, I love you. Number two, I'm proud of you. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. You say, preacher, you don't know my children. You don't know, he's a drug addict, he's an alcoholic, he's this and he's that. Well, friend, find something that you can be proud of. He's your child. You can be proud of something. You're not proud of his lifestyle. You're not proud, but you're proud because of who he is. And he needs to hear that and say, son or daughter, I'm proud of you. Amen. Third of all, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. I'm here for you. I'm here for you. Our plans got turned all haywire and everything else this week. I mean, listen, son, but I want to tell you something. If my children need me, I'm going to be there. They're going to come first. I mean, God, but then my family. And if one of them calls me up in the middle of the night, just like yesterday on the way home, when my daughter called and said, can you take me to the hospital? I think I need to go. We're sitting out there talking to her before we come in here to eat a hot dog. And we said then, if you want to go, we'll take you. And thank God for a good wife that said, hey, you go home and you rest. You got to preach tomorrow. I'll go. And I took, listen, you ought to say to your son or your daughter, I'm here for you. They ought to need to know that. And here, my friend, as the lamb that is prophesied, the lamb that was identified, John said, here he is. Oh, listen, all those Old Testament sacrifices, they could not take sin away. They were put on a charge account. And you know what a charge account is, isn't it? I mean, the interest just keeps growing, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. But thank God, when Jesus came on the scene, he wiped the slate clean. He paid a debt I could not pay. This old world needed a redeemer. Someone that could take their sin away. Not just put it on charge account. but to wipe it away. The Lamb crucified, Isaiah 53:7. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before his shearers is dumb. I read about this week, and about I've been out west, and where they have a lot of sheep. I've read about this week. Sheep will follow most anybody or anything. And what they'll do, those men that slaughter the sheep, they'll get either a goat or they'll get a sheep, and they'll train that sheep to lead the rest of that flock into the slaughter. And you know what they call that old goat that leads that rest of those lambs down that road to the slaughterhouse? They called it a Judas goat or a Judas sheep. And Jesus was led as a lamb before his shearers, as before those that killed him as dumb. And the Pilate's judgment hall, when they beat his back with that Roman flagellum, when they ripped the skin and the flesh, and he stood there in the pool of his own blood, he opened not his mouth. He didn't curse him. He didn't swear at him. He didn't call him any names, but he was silent. He was as a lamb that was dumb before his shearers. Oh, listen, my friend, that lamb, the perfect, sinless Lamb of God, he was led up to Calvary, nailed by a Roman soldier, lifted up between heaven and earth, dropped in that ground, and there, my friend, he gave his life for you and for me. But then, quickly, there's a Lamb glorified. Turn over there with me, please, just for a minute, if you got your Bible. Revelation. We're going to end here in just a second. But a Lamb that's glorified. Revelation chapter 5. Listen to me. Chapter 5, verse 6, and behold, lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain. We're in heaven. Chapter 5, Revelation. If you read your Bible and you study it out, by the way, I do believe in the coming of the Lord. Amen. Can I say that one more time? I believe in the soon imminent return of Jesus. Amen. There are churches today, there are preachers today, and there over there in Peter that says, I was listening to a Billy Graham message on Facebook the other day, preached years ago in black and white, and Billy Graham was preaching about, and many will say in that last day, where is the promise of his coming? We're in that generation today. They say, hey, you old fundamental independent Baptists, you old narrow-minded people, why, you've been talking about Jesus coming for all these centuries, for 2,000 years, you've talked about him coming. Where is the promise of his coming? Listen, just because he hadn't come yet doesn't mean that he ain't a coming. He's on his way. And I believe this, friend, it's only a matter of days before we're called out of here. But the Lamb of God slain. Chapter 5, here's my point. In chapter 4, John said, I saw a door in heaven open, and I heard a voice speaking unto me that said, come up hither. And John said, the next thing I know, I was there, right there in heaven. That's the rapture of the church, my friend. We're going out of here one day. Woo! One of these days, and it won't be long, that the shout will come. The voice of the archangel, the trump of God, that dead in Christ are going to be raised. The living shall be changed, and we're moving out. Y'all believe that? John said in chapter 4, there was a door open. Next thing I know, I'm in heaven. Chapter 5, he's talking about what he's seeing. In chapter 5, he said, I saw there was a lamb. And notice that word in chapter 5, verse 6, like it had been slain. That word slain is the word slaughtered. Not a pretty sight. I could only imagine back in Old Testament times, back at the Passover, all these innocent, pure, white, snowy lambs brought in, and their legs are bound, and the priest would take and slit their throat, and blood began to gush out over that white wool, and they would catch that blood, And they would take that blood. You say, preacher, why? Because it's by the blood. It's not by your works. It's not by doing good. It's not by putting money in the plate. It's by the precious blood of an innocent lamb you're saved. But here John says, I saw this one in heaven. And he's speaking of the Lord Jesus. And he said, as a lamb that had been slain, slaughtered. It's interesting. Our brother, we talked about, listen, I'm glad for the promise of heaven. Amen. The lame will not be lame in heaven. Amen. There'll not be no Washington tanks. There'll not be no chemotherapy. Oh. Hospitals will not exist. Oh. Funeral homes will be out of business. There'll not be any, hey listen, there'll not be any graves on any hillsides there. But I want to tell you one thing that's going to be there. In chapter 5, verse 6, the prints of the nails in the hands of Jesus. Listen, our scars are going to be gone. Our eyesight's going to be restored. Our hearing is going to be new. But the prints of the nails will be in the hands of Jesus. You say, why is that, preacher? Because, my friend, those are testimony. What happened, and that is fulfillment of a prophecy. Zechariah 13:6 says, and one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? And he shall answer, those are which I was wounded in the house of my friends. And then last thing, I close with this. In chapter 5, there's the lamb that's magnified. In verse 11 to 14 says, and I behold, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Now watch this. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, such as are in the sea, and all them I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever. Amen. And ever. This old world has rejected the Lamb. I'll celebrate my 62nd birthday next month. I remember, Brother Danny, when I was in grammar school, my wife and I came back from Benson a week ago, and she said, you never have showed me where you, the house that you lived in Raleigh. Can we go by there? And so sure enough, I pulled down off of Six Forks Road, and there was a junior high school I used to go to. Oh, it changed a lot. It was a magnet school now, and then I went right down the street to Lakemont Drive and turn left, and right up there sitting on a hill was 4905 Lakemont Drive. And my wife said, your daddy built all these houses? I said, yeah. He built every house in here. He the company he worked for, he oversaw every house. We were the only house in that whole subdivision that had a double concrete driveway. Daddy built that house. But I remember being at Effie Green Elementary School and went down there to try to find it. I couldn't find it. But I remember in the early 60s when there was a woman by the name of Madeline Murray O'Hare that said, it's not right to have little boys and girls pray. It's not right to have little boys and girls in school buildings bow their heads and talk to Jesus. It's not right to read the Bible over the intercom every morning. So Madeline Murray O'Hare, through the Supreme Court, got it tossed out that Bible reading and prayer was a constitutional violation. Brother Danny, since that time, we've raised a group of rebels in our school system. We've got kids today that don't respect their teachers, they don't respect the principal, and they don't respect the policeman. And since that time, but I remember that time, Brother James, you probably remember that too, that there was a time that prayer and Bible reading was something that this old world said we needed. But then They said, now we don't need it. And they kicked God out. Let me tell you something, that my Bible says there's coming a day that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess, every God denier, every Madeline Murray O'Hara, every atheist, every Muslim, every Mormon, everyone that is not a Christian, hey, they're going to bow and they're going to have to say, He is Lord. Even the devil and the demons of hell are going to have to say, He is Lord, to the glory of God. Amen. Now you got a choice. Either you can bow right here on this side of eternity and be saved and go to heaven with the rest of us crowd, or either you can reject the Son of God, stomp His blood, spit in His face, and go to hell. That's your choice. I can't make you get saved. I couldn't if I wanted. I wouldn't do it if I could, because you'd get be saved, getting saved for me, not for you, and not for Jesus. But you have a choice. You see, Brother Danny, there's coming a day that every knee that's ever walked upon the face of this earth, and not only just human beings, but every demon of hell, every devil. What did y'all tell me a while ago? That I've got what now? I got an assignment from hell. And they said I ought to rejoice at that. Hey, look, you know what? Bless their heart. You know, I know what they're saying. There's a bunch of demons that's got me as a bounty right now, I do believe. I mean, I'm not going to all my troubles and trials. Thank God I'm in good health. Praise God for that. Hallelujah. And I'm getting ready just to get even better. But I want to tell you something. As these ladies said, there's an assignment. There's a bounty on your head down. The demons have got your name. Hey, I want to tell you something. One of these days, my friend, all them demons of hell, they're going to bow and they're going to have to say, yes, He is Lord. He is Lord. Jesus, the Lamb of God, He's Lord. What are you going to do? I'm going to be in that crowd over there in Revelation. Harvesters, y'all get ready to sing for me. Sing an invitation song, would you? I'm in that crowd and I'm going to lift my voice. And I'm going to say, glory to God, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and glory and honor. If you've never shouted, you're going to shout that day. If you've never lifted your voice and if you've never said, praise the Lord, hey, by the way, it wouldn't hurt you to get practice in on this side. Amen. If you've never lifted your hands and said, hallelujah, you might as well get used to it. Heaven is going to be a place of rejoicing. Amen. For the former things of this earth are past. Amen. All things are become new because of the Lamb that was slain. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Men, would y'all get an invitation song ready for us? Something. I don't know, Brother Danny, the last one you sung will be fine. Ever what God lays on your heart, I'll leave that up to you, men. I want to ask you a very most important question in all your life. If today was your last day, if you breathed your last breath, if by Wednesday of this week we'd be having your funeral, it could happen that quick. You died today, and most of the time, by the time that you're dead and they take your body to the funeral home and they get all the paperwork and everything done, and then the visitation's Tuesday night and your funeral's on Wednesday. That's the way it usually works. Before, you said, preacher, it'll never work. I had a lady one time in the church that I was in. We had a Sunday school contest, and on Sunday morning I presented her with a brand new Scofield Bible. The lady never got to use that Bible. By Wednesday we was preaching her funeral. It happened that quick. It can happen that quick. I wonder how many of you with a raised hand in just a moment say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the Lamb of God. Amen. Hands are already going up. Thank you, Lord. I'm saved. Been washed in the blood. You know it. You know it. Raise it high. You're not ashamed of Him. Wave it at Him. Praise the Lord. We're all going to heaven one of these days. Glory. But maybe there's somebody here this morning. You know who you are. I don't have to point you out. You know who you are. You've been struggling for this for a while. You've been saying, I'm just going to wait for a better time. There is no better time. Today is the day of salvation. While you got breath in your body, while you got intellect in your head, while you still can, today is the day of salvation. Would you be saved today? Is there one across this room? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around except me. And I'm the only one looking right now. Would you lift a hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I couldn't raise a hand a moment ago, but I sure don't want to go to hell. Would you pray for me?" That's it. I'll just pray for you. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to single you out. I'm not going to call your name. Would you let me pray for you? Is there one? Slip it up, take it down. Slip it up, take it down. Is there one? Is there one? Is there one?